A Work to be Done for God. July 16, 1900. Typed. Workers for God need a thorough, all-round education. Organizers are needed to set people at work. There are many who would work for the Master if they knew how to begin. There are many who are willing to follow, but not willing to lead. All their life, from childhood to manhood, they have waited to be told what to do. They see that it is their duty to do something in a good work, but how are they to take the first step? There is work for all to do, even for those who are apparently the most inefficient. The very first steps need to be carefully considered. Before beginning to build the tower, set down and count the cost, lest you begin to build and then find that you are not able to finish. The first thing all need to do is to surrender the will wholly to God. Ask Him, with the humility of a child, for willingness to do the easiest, smallest things first. Do not be continually searching for some large thing to do. Those who are willing to do the smallest things faithfully will soon find themselves able to accomplish more important duties. If we look to God for guidance, if we are willing to do our best in small things, the Lord will most assuredly give us the ability and strength for greater things. A true organizer knows that one correct example is worth more than many commands. Notice Paul's life of self-denial and self-sacrifice. As he worked at tent-making and other things, he became fitted to organize good works. When he wished to arouse the believers in Corinth to contribute to their suffering brethren in Corinth, he called their attention to what the churches in Macedonia had done. "Moreover, brethren," he wrote, "we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the Lord." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1-5. The very first work for us to do individually is to put ourselves into the Lord's hands, giving ourselves to Him as willing and ready to do anything He sets before us, not in our way or according to our plans, but in His way. The Lord needs not our capabilities or our money. He is rich in resources. The gold and the silver are His. Our time, our talents, our money, all have been bought with a price. He calls upon us to return to Him His own, that He may test and prove us. Every day we are to return to the Lord that which He has entrusted to us. And we are to ask Him not only for temporal blessings, but for spiritual gifts. He who asks in faith and believing that God will fulfill His word, and who acts in accordance with his prayer, doing those things that are for his best good, will receive rich blessings from on high. And as he receives, he is to impart both spiritual and temporal help to those who are in need. God says, "My son, give me thine heart." Proverbs 23, verse 26. When this request is complied with, when self is surrendered to the service of God, the Lord accepts the expression of loyalty. But whether or not we give mind, soul, and strength to God, it all belongs to Him. He is the owner of every human being. He says, "My son, give me your zeal, your capabilities, your energy." Our powers are ever to be employed to His glory. "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. There is much work to be done in every place. God calls upon all to enter his army as workers for him, to obey the orders he has given in his word, to make known his gospel, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. This is the present truth which is to go to all the world. Under Christ's guidance, we shall find work enough to do. To every truly believing soul, the word is made sanctification and righteousness and confidence and hope. The Christian is to be quick to hear and obey the call, "Go work today in my vineyard." Matthew 21, verse 28. He is to show by his daily life that he loves God supremely and his neighbor as himself. Love for God is the first arm of the divine requirements. Love for one another is the second. On these two great principles hang all the law and the prophets. To love God supremely and our neighbor as ourselves requires a pure, clean heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. A faith that works by love and purifies the soul from all defilement. If we have a steadfast faith in Christ as our accepted personal Savior, we can do precious work for the Master. By our example of wholeheartedness in God's service, we shall advance His cause and bring to a personal knowledge of the truth many who will be chosen by God as laborers for Him. Workers who can receive His orders and perform His work in the great harvest field. Those who are truly consecrated, who keep self hid in Christ, will be qualified to work for souls. They will work with meekness, humility, and unselfish love, and with that obedience to God's commands that fills the soul with the joy of Christ. We may be all light in the Lord, rejoicing in the sense of the constant support of His grace. He can give us tact and wisdom, which will enable us to win many to His great and good work. The gospel dispensation is the last period of probation that will ever be granted to men. Those who live under this dispensation of test and trial, and yet are not led to repent and obey, will perish with the disloyal. They will have no second trial. The gospel that is to be preached to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples presents the truth in clear lines, showing that obedience is the condition of gaining eternal life. Christ imparts His righteousness to those who consent to let Him take away their sins. We are indebted to Christ for the grace which makes us complete in Him. Momentous truth is conveyed to the mind through the reading of the Scriptures. Every word is a valuable pearl. No word is to lose its virtue and force. One word changed would injure the thought and destroy the lesson taught. By incorrect punctuation, the meaning of the Word of God may be greatly altered. The Holy Spirit directed and impressed the writers of the Bible. These men did not write words of human wisdom, but words given them by God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 to 16. Christ crucified for us as the great atonement for sin is the central truth of the gospel. Those who do not, in loyalty to God, obey His holy commandments cannot correctly explain the atonement. The truth is plainly and decidedly revealed in God's Word. But those who refuse to obey the law of God are ignorant of divine things because they love darkness rather than light. We are to present the gospel as a powerful, working agency. We need, as never before, to see the need of wrestling with God under a sense of the great responsibility resting upon us to faithfully discharge every duty, that we may win souls to the Savior. The weak are now to be as David, and David as the angel of the Lord.